The common man gets trampled upon.
Welcome back, friends. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and my guest today is Carolyn Yeager, the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Guided Tour, published by the Barnes Review. She is the host of the Heretics Hour on Voice of Reason Radio. Her website is CarolynYeager.com. Now, you were talking about the gas chamber and that they had roped it off and that you really couldn't go in there. Could that be because they're really reluctant to let people in because so much scientific evidence has been produced saying that there's absolutely no evidence of any gas being used there?
Yes, exactly. Plus, looking at the way that they seen the traces, which are very obvious, of what it used to be and what it is now, you know, the reconstruction, the changes that they made. And that has all been talked about. And it's funny, I don't know at what point or really exactly why. I probably, if I thought about it, I would come up with some ideas. But at some point, they just started to realize that they had to restrict access to these things because there was more and more people were paying attention to revisionists. They had failed in their effort to make revisionists into bad and evil and ignorant people, and therefore, you know, nobody would pay attention to them. They've done pretty good with that, but they haven't really succeeded. And so revisionism was gaining ground and is continuing to, and now they're really, you know, the subtitle of my book is What the Tour Guides Don't Tell You at Auschwitz-Birkenau, and that's really what it's I didn't want to go on a tour I didn't intend to go on a tour at all. I was just going to go around on my own, and I knew what I wanted to see, etc. But for reasons I won't go into, I did go on a tour. And so that, though, showed me just what this tour is like, which I could have imagined, but still. You know, when you get to the gas chamber area, and that's the finale, you know, of the tour, they build you up to that, and then though they just push you right past there. I knew exactly what I was going to look for in there and what I was going to do, and I get there and I'm just pushed along, and then I'm outside and it's all over, and I didn't see anything.
Right.
And this is what they're doing now. And that's the reason is what you said, you know. And the other thing is that it's so when you learn that originally this crematorium building had some little vents, little chimneys in the roof for the ovens, and then it had some little it had a peaked roof, and now they rebuilt it. The Russians rebuilt it to make a flat roof. They put these little openings in there that they say that the Zyklon B was put down, and then they built this great big chimney, which has never, ever been connected to the ovens inside. And then they changed some things around in the gas chamber part.
Right.
This is all that you have. And now, though, they even say, all these things don't matter much because this gas chamber wasn't used all that much. And not that many of the people were killed in this one. It was all done in Birkenau. And, of course, those were all blown up by the Russians. So you can't go and judge anything about those, about what. And that's the reason they did it.
Sure. Okay, we're going to a short break. We'll be right back and take some calls.
The Sparky Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
So shine the light of your freedom.
Okay, we are back. My guest today is Carolyn Yeager. Her website is carolynyeager.com. Okay, we were talking about the gas chambers. And
yeah, there's one more point I think I should make. I'll try to make it very, very quickly. It's important that every one of the rooms that are called gas chambers in these buildings, in these crematoriums, and of course they have blueprints for the ones that were built at in Bear Canal, which no longer exists there, really. Some of them are rubble and some are just gone altogether. That these rooms were partly underground. And, you know, they were really morgues. They were what they call, you know, corpse cellars. And they were for keeping the corpses until they were able to put them in the crematory oven. And that's why they were partly underground, I would assume, so that the place would remain cool. And yet Zyklon B is known that it works. It needs to be heated, and it needs to be warm. And the warmer the air in the room, the better it's going to work. So why would the Germans build these rooms for that purpose, partly underground?
Right, and we know also where did the corpse come from? We know that in a community, you're going to have deaths. And you have to have somewhere in the community, the Auschwitz community, to keep these people and then to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Death is something that happens in any community. But as far as a gas chamber where they actually gas people to death, there were no gas chambers at any of these camps. Now, Fred Lechter said in 1992, he said, and I quote, "Much to the dismay of my executioners, the execution was so badly botched that I am able to stand here before you to speak the truth and to tell the world that it is not myself, not but the Holocaust story that is dead. I repeat for the record, I was condemned for maintaining that there were no execution gas chambers at Auschwitz, Birkenau, Majdanek, Dachau, Mauthausen, or Hartheim Castle. There's no proof for the charge, only innuendo, lies, and half-truths. Robert Fowerson, Ernst Zundel, and others said this first. They too live as victims of botched executions, but nevertheless, free to speak the truth in a strong and growing spirit that repeats, no gas chambers, no gas chambers, no gas chambers, exclamation mark, period." And this is from Robert Fowerson's Blogspot. So there weren't any execution gas chambers, period.
No,
none.
No, no. They're really are having a terrible time trying to keep that story going, because the evidence that they have is continually being looked at by more people and seem to be entirely lacking in any kind of sensibility. So it's only a matter of time, and I believe that's why they're coming up, they're putting so much focus now on the murder by gas vans and execution by Einsatzgruppen. These groups, you know, these military German who were working behind the lines to try to keep the guerrilla warfare down, that they were killing millions.
Right, but you still have the death books that really tell exactly how many people died, and it's not even close to what they claimed. It was what, 135,000 people died in Auschwitz. 135,000, and that included Jews and non-Jews. Carolyn, we do have one caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take a call. Jack in Canada. Jack, you're on.
Yes, hello. I've been listening for about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, to your conversation. You know, I am not a Jew. I'm Polish. I am appalled at the chutzpah about the Holocaust. But my father, at the age of 16, was caught by the Germans and put into a concentration camp. And what this lady is telling you about the concentration camps is appalling. Now, I won't get into any discussion because, obviously, you know, you control the microphone, but I would just tell you that this amounts to playing on the ignorance of the North American public to the extent comparable with the Holocaust chutzpah. And fortunately, there are historians in the United States who wrote truthful books about it, and I can recommend to your listeners that if they want to know what happened, they should consult, among others, two books, Forgotten Holocaust by Richard C. Lucas and Hitler Strikes Poland by Alexander B. Rossino. Both are available cheaply on the Amazon. Thank you very much.
Okay, may I respond? Jack, we're not doubting that there were concentration camps. We're not doubting that people, including your father, at the age of 16, was captured and was placed in a concentration camp. And we're not doubting that people died. But what we are saying is that the official version of the Holocaust, where there were gas chambers that supposedly killed 6 million Jews, did not happen. And there are far more books that have scientific evidence to prove scientifically that counters testimony from people than there are books that promote it. And so you have to look at both sides in any issue, including the Holocaust issue, and see who's making all of the money, who's profiting, what agenda it is serving, and the people behind it. Who is promoting the official version of the Holocaust, and who is making all of the money from it?
So, could I ask Jack what year it was that his father was arrested?
1943. And he came back via Vienna because his concentration camp was being evacuated, believe it or not, but with the Russians following them in hot pursuit, those it's difficult to describe those people. They were still herding those starved, mostly dying people into the cattle wagons, and they were transporting them in the madness inside the Reich, which was falling apart. I mean, this is
Do you know that they were required by the Geneva Convention to remove any prisoners that they had out of a war zone and away from the enemy and into a safe zone, even though there were no safe zones left? But that was something that they had to do.
No, look, this is all ridiculous what you are saying. You know, there are people who lived through this. There are people who wrote about it as it happened. There were Polish underground officers which infiltrated those camps.
Absolutely.
On purpose.
They did.
Very well known names which should be known in the West very well, Karski and Pilecki. There were extensive reports sent to London and to New York and to the Jews in New York, among others, because the disproportionate number of people killed by the Germans were the Jews, but this was a genocidal war directed not mainly against the Jews, but against the Slavs, because of the Hitler...
Was your father working for the Polish resistance? What was he doing?
No, he was 16. He was 16 years old. He was caught up in a roundup, which were on... regular occurrence, and if you couldn't explain yourself or whatever, you could end up you were at the mercy of the selectioners. So this is my wife's parents were farmers in central Poland. The Germans disappropriated them, put them in a transition camp, tried to take one of their sons from them, to take them to Germany. They were bringing up those kids who satisfied the racial profile, you know, to grow from them, to breed from them a new German race. And they were lucky. They were not sent to a labor camp, most probably that would be Auschwitz, but they were sent to France. Where they were slaves and they worked for Germans in northern France until the war ended. They were not French. Outside of any concentration camp, they almost died of hunger there. Now you go
we'll
to
be
Holland.
Right back after a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back, Jack. Hang on.
don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Now they own the drugstores on the corners in your towns.
And we are back. This is Deanna, and my guest today is Carolyn Yeager. At the Yalta Conference, February 4th through the 11th, 1945, the British, the French, and the United States agreed that they were going to use German workers as slave labor in France in order to rebuild the destruction caused by the war. This was broached earlier, as early as 1943. But the Germans were not a part of that. In fact, they rounded up about 8 million Germans who were forced to do slave labor. So, you know, I don't know what time period, Jack, you're talking about.
Hello.
I would like to ask Jack a question, too, after he gets done with this.
What period of time was your father compelled to work as slave labor?
Hello.
Yes. When was your father...
I'm on the phone because we got disconnected in the meantime.
Oh, okay.
Look, what I told you is factual, and I referred to my personal experience so that it's not for the purpose of igniting these kind of feelings, but in order to present a perspective.
Sure.
Jack, I would like to ask you.
You said
that everything, that what I was saying was wrong, that I didn't know what I was talking about. I think that you should point out exactly, you know, what is wrong. What did I say? What have I presented here that you say is wrong?
Your description of concentration camp is laughable.
What in particular that I said about in describing the concentration camp was incorrect?
And people were dying of hunger and disease, and they were not kept for the purposes of transition, but for the purpose of genocide. This is what
this cannot be proven at all, not at all. You're making a claim that cannot, I'm sorry, in all respect, there's a lot you can say about what you experienced and what you know that would be true, but this, what you're saying now, is not true, and it cannot be documented.
Could you?
And you have not pointed out. You said that you did say that I said that people were kept there for labor and because they wanted to keep them out of the general population. I stand by that.
Could you let me say something?
Well, you said there was genocide.
I referred you. Am I on the air? Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. So I quoted two books. I gave the titles of two well-documented books. You know, in a conversation like this...
Oh, I don't know. Lucas, I don't agree with you on your book.
Well, anybody... I'm not asking...
I could name you a lot of books, but
I'm not asking you to agree with me or not. I'm simply saying that whoever is interested can look up those books and then evaluate what you are saying and what is being said in those books. And
if they just read those two books, Jack, you see, if those are the only two books they read, then I suppose...
No, they can contrast it with
you. They need to read more books than that.
No, you can...
As Deanna said, they need to look at both sides, but...
Look,
you know,
you have written a 40-page book which doesn't stand even to reason from what you are saying about it. Now, those books which I was talking about, they are extremely well documented. There is hundreds of books and articles quoted there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are most of those are documentaries. Now, if you want to know something, you go to Poland and talk to people in Poland who saw all of this firsthand. And you were talking about some guy
who... The Polish are very, very angry and unforgiving towards Germany. That's just a fact. And so you can't... You know, you have to take into consideration who the people are that you're talking to.
I see an issue here that can't be resolved. Jack,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate the different perspective, and thank you so much for calling in. Let's take another call from Steve in Chicago.
Hello.
Yes, Steve. Go ahead.
It's interesting. I wasn't going to call, but I heard the gentleman ahead of me. For his information, coming out February 3rd is going to be a book in Polish called The Golden Harvest by a Jewish historian. The name is Thomas Gross. He wrote before about some kind of Polish participation in mass executions at Jedwabne in northeast Poland. And it's Y-E-D-V-A-B-N-E. That's how it's pronounced in German. His contention is that all the Polish people came in and looted the corpses after World War II at Treblinka. And he says he's got a picture here that shows these people going around there with shovels, men and women, trying to dig up the corpses, looking for the gold teeth and whatever jewelry that they have. So, you know, and he goes on, and by the way, he's being very contested. And he says not only did the Polish people participate in Auschwitz and Treblinka, but Kielce, Danzig, Marienburg, Bromberg, Lemberg, and mass executions, they were helping out the Germans. They were like auxiliary police. It's funny
Okay, Steve, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. Hang through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
So shine the light.
Alrighty, we are back. Herbert Hoover, after World War I, recruited about 1,500 trusted officers from the U.S. Army and Supreme Economic Council, sent them throughout Europe to gather documents. By February 5, 1921, he had 4,000 agents scouring Europe for critical documents because they wanted to conceal all the evidence of exactly who started this war that killed millions upon millions upon millions of people. Now, it is my contention that if they would go through that much effort in order to conceal who started and who perpetrated this murderous war, then it is my contention that following World War II, they would also create a bevy of authors who would write documented books, so-called documented books, stating their testimony, their experience during World War II in the camps. I do not believe everything I read. Just because somebody said that they were there, that this is what they saw, does not mean that they were there or that that is what they saw. It simply means that maybe they were paid to say exactly what they wrote in that book. So that's my take on it, based on thousands of hours of other research that corroborate what I just said. Steve, do you have a comment? Oh, Ferner in New Brunswick.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi, Ferner.
Dana, I have to appreciate very much for the hard work you are doing, and your heart is in it. You know, you're just don't look at it in a cold way, you know, but as a human being. And this is what we have to do. If we have to look at the facts, but not forget that we are human beings. And the reason why we want to disclose all the different facts is that hopefully we can prevent any kind of bad things to happen in the future.
Thank you.
And I just two callers ahead before there was this gentleman there from Poland.
Jack,
A few years ago, somebody sent me some material, and according to that, you know, Hitler's SS, it was a force of about 1 million, and 600,000 were non-Germans. They were Polish, they were Russian, they were Ukrainian, from all nationalities. That had joined the SS because, and a Lithuanian, and they had joined the SS because of what the communists did in their countries to their people.
Right, right. He had a lot of people joined Hitler's army. He even had people from India go and join the
army. I don't know
army.
About that. But
yes.
It is a possibility, especially in the southern part of the Soviet Union, what had been done there to the Islamic people, you know.
Right.
To the to those ethnic groups there, I don't have any doubt that some of them, you know, in order to get the communists out of the Soviet Union, out of Russia, you know,
exactly.
To get that this oppressive and this murderous system out of the way, that they joined.
Right.
Well, that's exactly right, Werner. Is that your name, Werner?
Yeah.
Werner.
Yes, Werner. That's exactly right. Hitler's main desire and objective was to defeat Bolshevism and to prevent communism from taking over in Europe or anywhere else, and to keep it confined and eventually defeated in Russia. And he was eager to the whole regime was eager to have people from anywhere who were fighting that, you know, and to join together in that fight. And this idea that he was wanting to kill the Slavs, or he thought these certain people were subhuman and so on, has been very much overrated. And in fact, it isn't even true when it comes to Adolf Hitler. But it is true that he was critical of Slavs, and he was in his book Mein Kampf. But you know, from the time he wrote his book Mein Kampf to when he became Chancellor of Germany, and then to years later, really some years later, when he was faced with war being declared against him, against Germany, a lot of things changed, and a lot of his viewpoints changed, and he was functioning from what was, you know, from a more practical point of view than just a theoretical point of view as it was earlier. And so you're making a very good point.
There's another point I want to make. You know, all those political extremist groups, be it the Nazis, be it the communists, whatever, they're like opportunistic infections. Once certain desperate situation have been created, they capitalize on it and they move in. And when we look at it in the history, you know, what did they bring to the people? Nothing but death and destruction. And I appreciate very much that you look at the issues and at the history from all different aspects. You know, that and basically there has to be a great deal of education to be done. And I was kind of dismayed when I came here over 40 years ago here to Canada about the propaganda years after the end of the Second World War that was still being pushed by mainstream media. You know, and I appreciate very much that RBN is there and look at the historical facts. Sure, you know, the Nazis were no choir boys, you know, and whether there 6 million people perished in the concentration camps or 85,000, you know, it never should have happened. Germany never should have been involved in it.
Actually, the people who passed away in the concentration camp were not executed. They simply died from from the typhus, from the diseases that are so common when you have concentrated numbers of people.
And what you brought there last night about the camps that were set up by General Eisenhower, you know, I can attest to that because one of my uncles, he was in one of those camps, and he told exactly what had happened there. And that correlates right what you said last night and what the prisoners of war in Russia went through. You know, it is unbelievable. You know,
right.
So the one who is with all, without guilt, let him cast the first stone. But
right.
The people of goodwill, we have to get the facts out.
Right.
And that's
Bernard,
where you, Diana, you are in the forefront and you are a shining example trying to bring the facts out and educate the public.
Thank you so much.
I think people should thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you. The only extermination camps in Germany were the ones that Eisenhower set up. There were people who died in the other camps, but they weren't exterminated. Am I correct, Carolyn?
Well, yes, yes. Well, there were executions, but that's not extermination. There were executions for cause, and people got a hearing. You might not like the kind of hearing they got, but naturally, during wartime, enemy people are executed, and that took place. And there were people who behaved wrongly in the camps. You know, they had the camp prisons. Of course, when you take the tour at Auschwitz, there one of the main places they want to take you is to the Block 11, which is the cell block, and they make a big deal out of that, and there's a lot of stuff in there they have memorialized and, you know, make you feel really sorry for all the people who were there, but as though they were put in there for no reason. But actually, every, like you mentioned how it was a community, you know, in a sense, and in every community, every small town or whatever, they have jails, and when people misbehave, you have to have a place to put them. And that's where you put them, and some people got the death sentence for the things that they did. There was a lot of, for one thing, people who were put into these concentration camps, while it is a sorry thing to happen, were not angels either. As Werner said, the Nazis were not choir boys. These were not choir people either. There were all kinds of bad people. And they were continuing their bad behavior, and there was a lot of nasty behavior in the camps of one person to another, one inmate to another, and when they put inmates in charge of other inmates, and they were sometimes behaved very badly, and they were constantly having to oversee this and punish the people who were behaving badly. It was you know, what you would imagine, why they have such strict rules in any kind of a prison. So, prison system. So, yeah, you know, there was no, but extermination? No. That's a weird word that is used. Anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Werner, for your call.
Yeah,
if you want to call in, did you have another question?
Oh, as I say, a while ago, I read about Norman Finkelstein.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and Hayao Myers. Norman Finkelstein, he lost family members in the concentration camp, and Hayao Myers as a teenager, he ended up in the concentration camp, and he survived it. And
uh-huh.
Those two people, I would say, they reported very objectively about what happened there.
Right. Well, Norman Finkelstein basically calls it what it is. It's an industry. It's a Holocaust industry, and people are making a lot of money off of it. And they continue to make a lot of money off of it.
And
it's an exploitive situation, and you just have to look at the facts. And the facts...
Go ahead,
Werner.
No, and when I saw over the last few years what happened there in Palestine, and the way the Israeli army is behaving towards the Palestinian people, you know, shouldn't they have learned out of their own experience?
Yeah, well, see, obviously they didn't. So well, there's something maybe wrong with that whole theory too, Werner, that they actually went through what they say they went through, because they didn't seem to learn what they should have learned from it.
And then we should look at how many percent, most of the upper echelon of the Bolshevists and communists that were responsible for the slaughter of tens of millions of Russian people, you know, Christians and Muslims and all, most of them, they were Russian Jews. And what I understood, 80% of the ones that populate now Israel, they came from Russia, from the Soviet Union.
Yeah, you're right. You're making some very good points.
But as I say, keep it up. You know, the more we know about it and put the word out, hopefully we find out who are the real bad guys in the background are that are all putting all those disasters in scene, you know, over the last century, you know.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much, Werner,
you're
for
welcome.
Calling.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. And that is the whole point, is that, you know, there have been so many famines, so many periods of time where large numbers of people have been killed. And yet the focus always seems to be on this Holocaust that purportedly happened in Germany, and without any regard for anybody else's deaths. Keep in mind that in World War I, that 38,880,500 people died in the Ukraine, which Werner brought up. There were between 5 million and 10 million. Second World War, 49 million people were just civilians. And many of those were in Germany. Now, Holocaust is basically means death by fire. Okay? So if you want to talk about a Holocaust in Germany, you have to think of the bombings in Dresden, the bombings in Berlin, and they were bombing civilian infrastructure. This was
and
targeted.
In Dresden, they were using phosphorus bombing,
yes.
bombs, and also in Hamburg. And yes. that is really, and creating purposeful firestorms with the type of bombing that system that they did, that they dreamed up, which would create these firestorms, which were, talk about terror. I mean, that was
exactly
as bad as the atomic bombing. And maybe the atomic bombing was quicker. It wasn't, because a lot of people died of radiation, so it was
right,
for a lot of
right.
people it was.
So
I think though, Deanna, you're bringing up something that's really important, and what Werner said, that you know, as we look at why this Holocaust is not just is being made so important, it's not just the money from the Holocaust industry, but it is a political force from the victors of World War II, who are using it to keep, as you just pointed out, to keep the real story of what they did from being looked at. And so they have to continue to make Adolf Hitler and those Germans at that time, who were Nazis, or who were even participating, even the Wehrmacht soldiers and so on, into the evilest, barbarous people on the face who ever existed, who would were rounding up all these people and treating them so awful and throwing them into gas chambers and so on and so forth and shooting them dead, and just because they hated them and all of this kind of thing,
right.
in order to keep their political control, which is really what is the globalist agenda that we are all fighting today. And yet we have all these people in what they call a movement, sort of loosely, fighting the globalist agenda, but upholding this Hitler hatred and this Nazi hatred and this Holocaust belief, which is really probably the strongest thing holding it together. And that's why it remains, there's all these laws passed to,
right.
to keep you from questioning it.
You know, something that is in the book, the foreword to the Great Holocaust Trial, and we read, the candid answer is that, unlike Stalin, Churchill, Roosevelt, and Truman, Hitler cracked down on the holy people. Therefore, Hitler personifies the supreme evil of all history because Judaics are the supreme people. Christians who do not subscribe to the religion of Judaism with its supremacist race pride are unlikely to subscribe to this special view of Hitler. And so, you know, we have to understand what exactly brought Hitler so much hatred, why people hate him so much. And you have to look at the media, you have to look at the official version of the war, and then find out exactly why they hate him so much. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that if you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
The masters of stealth, they excel in deceit.
And we are back. This is the last segment of Spingola Speaks. We have to recognize that the same people own the media, make the movies, control education, they run the government, and they run the banks. And it's very difficult when you've had years of indoctrination to really oppose what you have learned, because it is so deeply embedded in every facet of our society. And yet we do have to break out of that mold that they've placed us in. We have to
Deanna, I might have the advantage of not having had childhood indoctrination into this. As I said in the beginning, I didn't really even notice it until this 70s and I was an adult. And I think that when you receive this when you're quite young, it's just really difficult, and yet there are those who break out of it. And they're usually pretty angry when they do. I would like to respond to Jack's two books that he recommended, with recommending a book myself, and that the book that I would recommend for a person wanting to get get into this as a general, to see what the arguments are, is The Hoax of the 20th Century by Arthur Butz. This is a well-known book. It's been around. He wrote it it was published in the late 70s, and he has some updates in it, but it's still very valid. He did a fantastic job. The subtitle of The Hoax of the 20th Century is The Case Against the Presumed Extermination of European Jewry. So, I would recommend this book. And another one is Debating the Holocaust, which is a more recent book by Thomas Dalton.
Right. I have that book. I have the other book, too.
Yeah, well, I just recently read Butz's book. I was, I've known for a long time I needed to read it, but I just recently read it, and I was very impressed with it. I really enjoyed it, too. It gives you a lot of background information about the war and so on, which is very helpful.
Certainly. And you have to look at the people that they are trying to shut up are the people that provide scientific evidence. David Cole, Ernst Zundel, all of these people, Fred Lechter, all of these people provide scientific evidence which counters the testimony of eyewitnesses who can, and a lot of times those eyewitnesses really aren't eyewitnesses. They are people who have heard from somebody else, who heard from somebody else, who heard from somebody else. And so it isn't really their personal experience at all. And so it is a very, very difficult issue to talk to with people. That's why I bought two copies of your book, because I wanted to be able to share it, and I have shared it. And
I shared it with a lady at the gym where I go, and I told her I told her I was writing a book, and so she wanted to read it. And, she was a German, a woman who was born in Germany and lived in Dachau, and was a very young girl at that time. She remembers it all, and later she came to the United States, and her mother remained there, and she used to visit every year. But she is convinced that, it was all like they said, and I gave her this book. She didn't know what she was getting, and when I saw her again, she was saying something like, you seem to be convinced that this didn't happen. Well, then she loaned it to another lady, and then everybody was looking at me strangely because we were talking in the locker room.
Carolyn?
Yeah, I know. We're going.
We're
I want to thank you.
I enjoyed this so much.
We didn't get to talk about Bush, the Bush-Nazi connection. Maybe another time.
Right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye now. Come back tomorrow,
bye,
listeners. Thank you, Carolyn.